Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Good morning across the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. I'm Todd Albaugh. It is Monday, the 21st of March, 2023, the first full day of spring. Along with Mr. Aaron Zommer, our producer and engineer, we are into hour number three. And here to save the morning, coming up at 10:30, we have Luke Mathers of Dueling Tangents, co-host, along with Brian Kelly. Looking forward to that, Mr. Zommer. Looking forward to Luke's take. Always makes me feel better. I think people like to hear Luke. They love Luke. They want more Luke.
Yeah, definitely. And I think we'll have to play him that song, the Yippee-ki-yay, cow patty.
Maybe we will do that. Maybe we'll get his take on whether or not we should have a cow patty, a cow muffin.
The meadow muffin,
yes. Great piece of legislation. That's coming up in hour number three. We're also going to take a look a little bit more in this half hour at the Trumpster as we await what's happening in New York City. Along with a lot of people, whether or not Trump will get indicted today, as he predicted, or whether it will be later this week, or perhaps next week, or maybe not at all. We shall see. But as Matt Flynn said yesterday on this program, Matt Flynn Direct, by the way, a great program, every afternoon at 3 o'clock, Matt Flynn, an attorney, reminded us yesterday that, as they say in the legal profession, you can indict a ham sandwich. Pretty close to it. That's what I love about Matt. He just puts it right down there where you can understand it. And you can almost indict a ham sandwich in the legal profession. We'll explain more coming up on this next segment. First of all, your weather forecast for today, courtesy of Kara Foster from Weatherology, our fine meteorologist here at Civic Media. For this morning, look for mostly cloudy skies, a high of 52 degrees in Richland Center. That's right, 52 in the RC at WRCE. Tomorrow then, or I should say for tonight, a slight chance of a rain shower, a low of 38. Tomorrow, Wednesday, a slight chance of rain and a high of 54 degrees in southwest Wisconsin tomorrow. For today in Wausau, WXCO, Bull Falls Radio, some snow showers. Nothing's going to accumulate too much on the ground, more like enough to track a cat or a slushy cat. By the way, that's a great drink at 7-Eleven. Ever had a slushy cat? Let me tell you, it's a great beverage. A high of 34 today in Wausau. Then for tonight, a slight chance of a snow shower, a wintry mix, not more than a half inch of accumulation, just going to be that kind of heavy, wet, slushy stuff. A low of 33 in Wausau for tonight. For tomorrow, some rain and snow in the air, a wintry mix, a high of 44 degrees in Wausau. For today in Amory, WLAK, Lake Air Radio Land, cloudy skies, a high of 38. For tonight, a rain chance set at 40%, increasing to 100% by daybreak, a low of 33. Then on Wednesday morning, that rain and snow will come to an end, a slight chance of rain throughout the day in Amory tomorrow, and a high of 37 degrees. There is your weather forecast across the state of Wisconsin, and we are happy to have them, the weatherology folks, give us that wonderful forecast. Here are some headlines for you, what you need to know on this Monday, the 21st of March, 2023. Breaking this morning, courtesy of Channel 3000 in Madison, a man who was injured in a shooting in Middleton yesterday afternoon has died, according to police. Middleton Police Chief Troy Hellenbrand said officers were called to MSI Auto Sales in the 3000 block of Parmenter Street around 1:36 yesterday afternoon for a report of gunfire. A man was found with a gunshot wound at the scene. Police did not provide further information about the man, but said that he succumbed to his injuries at a local hospital this morning. The shooting is now being investigated as a homicide. Police said the shooting stemmed from a dispute over a vehicle purchase. The man was an employee at MSI, and the suspect in the shooting, a 23-year-old Fitchburg woman, is a former customer. Police said the woman was found just before 3:30 yesterday afternoon and was arrested without incident in Madison by Madison police officers. She faces charges of first-degree intentional homicide. From WTMJ television out of Milwaukee, one teen is dead, five women are injured following a shooting in Milwaukee overnight. The shooting happened near 14th and Cordonia shortly before 11:30 last night. Police said a 15-year-old boy and four women, a 22-year-old, an 18-year-old, a 21-year-old, a 19-year-old, and a 22-year-old woman, make that five. Police said they were all shot and are in the hospital at this hour. Their status and recovery is not known. Police said that they are investigating the circumstances that led to the shooting and are seeking an unknown suspect. And Supreme Court race will have their only debate today. You can hear it later on Civic Media starting at 6 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Our news director, Terry Bell, will anchor that coverage. It will feature Janet Protasiewicz, the liberal, going against the conservative, Dan Kelly. The debate is being sponsored by WISC-TV, Channel 3 here in Madison, the Wisconsin State Bar Association, and WisPolitics.com. Happening at 12:30, make it 12:45 here in Madison. We will bring you that tape-delayed coverage of the entire debate starting at 6 p.m. here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Quickly, national news, a strike destroyed Russian cruise missiles in Russian-occupied Crimea, according to the Ukrainian Defense Ministry. Both countries will host leaders this week. Ukraine did not directly claim responsibility for the strike, but said it will further demilitarize Russia and prepare the Crimean Peninsula for de-occupation. And coming up after the break, officials in New York and Washington, D.C. are preparing for potential protests as a grand jury weighs possible charges in Donald Trump's alleged role in a scheme to pay hush money to adult film star Stormy Daniels. In New York City, where the grand jury is meeting, all police officers are expected to be in uniform and ready for deployment today and throughout the week. We'll come back with our caller. We have somebody on the line. Don't go away. And your calls as well. Stay with us. This is the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 15 past the hour of 10 o'clock on the Civic Media Radio Network. Talking this morning about several issues, gun control, and whether or not we need a state rifle amongst them. We go to the phone calls now, and you could join as well if you want to call in 715-388-7155. Again, area code 715-388-7155. We go to the phone. Jim from Appleton, we appreciate you calling in. What is on your mind, sir?
Hi, I just, words have meanings. I can't call the Republicans conservatives anymore. By the way, I'm a recovering Republican.
Congratulations, welcome to the club.
They're not conservative. They haven't been conservative for 40 years. They're regressive. They want to enact a law that was passed before women could vote and when slavery was still legal.
Mm-hmm.
Because Lincoln didn't give out the Emancipation Proclamation until 1862.
There you go.
Why do you let them, not just you, but media in general, keep giving them the label that they chose, which is inaccurate?
Well, I think that's an interesting point, Jim. And you're not, you know, I lived for a summer in Appleton while my parents were finalizing their divorce. So it's a great town, by the way. I lived in Appleton when they used to be called the Appleton Foxes. How long have you lived in Appleton?
Yeah, since the Foxes became the Timber Rattlers.
Oh, there you go.
And they used to play over on Goodland Field.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's a great
time I've been here.
But the point is, you're in Appleton. I lived in Appleton, like I said, for a summer, not too far away from Ripon, right? And I believe yesterday was the anniversary. Not too far away. You can go through Ripon if you go to Appleton from my neck of the woods. But Ripon, of course, the hometown, was credited as the birthplace of the Republican Party. And I believe yesterday was the anniversary of the creation of the Republican Party right here in Wisconsin. And your point's well taken. It was the Free Soilers going together with a couple other minority parties to create the Republican Party, which stood for something very different than it stands for today. And I think you're right.
Back in that day,
go ahead.
Back in that day, they were the leftists. They were the progressives.
The radical Republicans, right?
Started. Yes, yes.
The radical Republicans. I mean, have you ever seen the movie Lincoln with Tommy Lee Jones?
Yes,
it's
I
a,
have.
It's a great
movie.
It's a great movie. If people haven't seen it, dial it up on your streaming service or DVD or whatever. Lincoln. Great movie. And it shows you that Republicans were, and the extreme Republicans, the radical Republicans, were people that not only did they want the slaves emancipated, God forbid, they actually wanted black people to maybe have a vote, and even worse, women to have a vote. That's what radical Republicans stood for back in the day. As our colleague and friend Matt Flynn likes to say, you're not woke if you don't know history. That's the history of the Republican Party. And conservatism, and to your point, tell people as a former Republican, Jim, what did a conservative Republican mean to you back in the day?
Back in the day, a conservative Republican was watching for excessive spending, was willing to change, but not radical all at once, kind of like Michigan is doing right now. Incremental change, slowly. Let's find out what the fallbacks might be before we jump into this with both feet.
Yeah, I think you're right. It was prudence, right? I mean, let's not spend things willy-nilly. Let's be prudent with taxpayer money. And if we truly need to spend it, we spend it. But let's not just, you know, I worked for a Republican back in the 90s, Scott Klug, and he was famous for going after these boondoggle things, such as there used to be a helium reserve. I believe it was in Alabama or Louisiana. Back in the 90s, we still had a U.S. helium reserve because it was, you know, providing jobs to some small town in Alabama. And God love them. But did we really need to be paying for a helium reserve in the 90s in the United States? We didn't have a big blimp contingent back then.
Not anymore. That was started when we used to have the Akron and the Mackinac down in Ohio, the big airship.
Right. So to your point, that's what conservative Republicanism used to stand for. Going after excessive spending or spending that we just simply didn't need anymore, but it was being done for both Republicans and Democrats, these kind of pork projects, right? And you wanted to eliminate the pork, which I have no problem with. But now, and I think what I'm getting to, Jim, is I appreciate the call. I appreciate you calling me on this and other media. I think that I use the term conservative because that's kind of the moniker they go by. And I also think that the public at large, I guess if I don't use conservative to describe Dan Kelly, what would you suggest that I use?
Regressive.
Well, okay.
He wants to take away the right to vote. He wants to take away a woman's right to control her own body.
That does seem more accurate, specifically for him and plenty of others. It does seem a lot more accurate.
You can put the two together until we can get the word regressive to take hold to guard these mega people.
Conservative regressives. I like that. Or regressive conservatives. Or maybe that's the way we say it. Regressive conservatives.
There you go. That works.
All right. I appreciate the call. I thank you so much, Jim, for listening and calling in, because you're exactly the type of person, well, we like all people, but you're exactly the type of person I'd like to talk to. What is it for you? Why did you personally choose to leave the Republican Party or disassociate yourself with that label? What is it that did it for you?
The last Republican that I voted for was Mike Ellis.
God love him.
The Republican Party, the irascible Mike Ellis.
Right.
Didn't always agree with him,
right,
but I always knew that he had the good of the state at heart.
Absolutely.
And when the party kicked him out, I was like, that's it. And that's right around the same time they were doing all their voter suppression, and he also stood up against that. And they literally kicked him out. Okay, that's enough. These guys have gone too far for me right now.
I think that's remarkably interesting. Were you in Senator Ellis's district? Were you his constituent?
Yes, I was. And I got to talk to him a couple times a year.
Mm-hmm. A real guy, right?
I didn't always agree with him. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah. Irascible is the best way to describe him.
One of my favorite people in politics that I had the honor to work with, I would say, you know, I worked for a different state senator. They were Dale Schultz and Senator Ellis were very close friends. And Senator Ellis was a great mentor to Dale. But I got to be in a lot of meetings with him. And yeah, I mean, he could BS with the best of them and be crusty and cagey and harass people a little bit. But at the end of the day, he still cared about the state and he'd still listen to you and listen to his constituents and do the best thing possible for the state of Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's what he always had in mind. I didn't always agree with him, but I always knew he meant the best for the state.
Right.
Unlike people like Voss and so many others.
I know. It's it's a very different Republican Party. Because Senator Ellis was not afraid to go against the grain. He was not afraid to be a bit of a maverick. And you're right, I didn't agree with him all the time either. But no one, I mean, whether Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal, regressive conservative or liberal, everyone knew that Mike Ellis knew the state budget like the back of his hand. He had literally had a blackboard in his office where we would have Bob Lang, the budget from Fiscal Bureau, the head of Fiscal Bureau, come in, and they knew that state budget like the back of their hand. And if you were going to argue with Mike Ellis on the budget, you'd better come prepared. Because you're right, he understood it, and he'd argue for the best things in Wisconsin. I don't know who does that anymore, do you?
No, I don't think there's anyone left.
Bob Lang.
Not even on either side, really. Yeah,
I would say another great friend of Senator Ellis's, Senator Rob Coles from Green Bay. Again, I might not always agree with the guy, but I think that he does try. There's really literally nobody left that I know in the Senate Republican caucus that is his contemporary. Rob Coles is now the longest serving Republican in the state Senate, and he may now be actually the longest member in the Senate period. Serving. He's the last one with institutional knowledge.
And the party has taken away all of his committees and all of his power. And
that's right.
There's very little that he can do anymore because MAGA.
Yeah, I mean, look, thanks for bringing that up, Jim. I mean, he was the longtime co-chair of the State Audit Committee, which doesn't get a lot of press. But Rob Coles, regardless of his political affiliation, he treated that committee with utmost respect. And everybody knew it. He was a straight shooter on that committee. And he would look at state agencies' programs and say, look, we're going to do an audit. Numbers don't lie. And we're going to look. And again, a true conservative, is it spending money or is it saving money? Do we really need this or not? That's the way he ran that committee. And now Devin Lemahieu, the current majority leader in the state Senate, said, yeah, Rob, we need you to be a little bit more political. And so we don't think you'll do that. And so we're taking you off that committee. That's why Lemahieu took him off, because Rob Coles was a straight shooter.
Yep.
Jim, I appreciate
it. Everything's got to...
Go ahead.
Got to pin everything on the Democrats, no matter what. That's the Republican motivation.
This hyper-partisanship, right?
Yes.
And to your point, your former state senator, Mike Ellis, I saw it, I don't want to say 100, but probably 100 times. He could go after the Democrats with the best of them. I mean, there was no better debater on the Senate floor than Michael G. Ellis. But you know what? After the Senate session was over, he'd walk five blocks down to the Avenue Bar and Restaurant on East Washington Avenue, and he'd buy Bob Jauch around, and they'd sit there, and Ellis would say, look, you SLB, how are we actually going to fix things? And then they could sit down and negotiate, and they would get stuff done. Bob Jauch was a Democrat, longtime senator, former majority leader himself on the Democratic side from up in Ashland. You don't have statespeople like this anymore in the state of Wisconsin. People who are willing to work across the aisle, believe in what you want to believe, but work across the aisle.
Yeah, we need more statesmen and fewer politicians again.
So well said, Jim. Thanks for the call. We really appreciate you listening. Have a great day up there in beautiful Appleton, Wisconsin, home of Lawrence University and the hometown of Harry Houdini. It's a great town, right? Cool. All right. We appreciate you, Jim. Have a great day.
You too.
Thank Bye-bye. You. That is Jim from Appleton. We appreciate him calling in this morning. Great call. Great state senator, former state senator. He has unfortunately passed away. Went to his funeral a few years back. The late, great state senator Michael G. Ellis. Caller's right. Republicans don't deserve the label conservative anymore. I like that. Regressive conservatives. Because that's what they are. Want to take us back. Want to take us back to the 1800s before women had voting rights. When abortions, the only abortion you can get in Wisconsin is with a coat hanger in a back alley. And if that sounds crude, it is because it is. That is where we're back to in Wisconsin right now. Thanks to Republicans, regressive Republicans. I love that call. Also love our next guest, my friend, my colleague, my coworker, the great Luke Mathers. Tuesday Tangents with Luke is coming up next. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:33 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey.
Hey. This is the best pep band song.
Welcome back. There he is. The guy who's going to come in and elevate this program this morning to a new level. Going to dig us out of the basement of broadcasting and bring us into at least mediocrity and beyond. Is our very own Luke Mathers, the Lukester from Luke and Brian's Dueling Tangents in the afternoon at 2 o'clock. Welcome in, Mr. Mathers.
At least mediocrity. I just want like that on my business card. At least mediocrity.
That's what we strive for here at this show. At least mediocrity.
I think that's a great way to describe me. I'm doing well. Todd, how about yourself on this Tuesday morning?
Well, you know, we're doing okay. We're doing okay. We're getting through another Tuesday here, and it's an active Tuesday.
It is.
You got the Supreme Court race or the Supreme Court debate happening this afternoon, which we are airing here at Civic Media at 6 p.m. Mm-hmm. Our news director, Terry Barbell. That's going to be the joint name now.
The two Terrys.
The two Terrys. Terry Barbell, the strength in broadcasting. Terry Bell is going to be anchoring our coverage at 6 o'clock. So if people want to listen into that, they can hear the one and only Supreme Court debate at 6 o'clock.
Yeah, and we want to thank our friends over at WISC, Channel 3000 here in Madison, the Wisconsin Bar Association, and WisPolitics for putting that forum on this afternoon and giving us permission to use that content and bring it to our listeners this evening at 6 p.m. And then on WRCE and WLAK, you got the Wisconsin Badgers still in the NIT. They're going to be taking on Oregon tonight at 8 p.m., so immediately following the Supreme Court debate. You'll start getting coverage for the Badgers on two of the three networks that you're listening to our voices on right now, or the two of the three stations in the network. And so cheering on the Badgers, we got the Supreme Court. Early voting in person starts today. I'm going to be having a conversation with Annalise Eicher, current Dane County Board Supervisor, but previously at One Wisconsin Now, who worked to help ensure early in-person voting. It was under attack for many years throughout the 2010s. So Annalise is going to be joining me and talking about that early in-person absentee voting that kicks off today as well.
And what do you tell people, Luke, about a voter?
A voter.
There you go.
Make a plan. Be a voter.
Be a voter. I love that. That's what we tell you. Be a voter.
Yeah, because telling somebody to go vote is like, and there's a lot of research that's been done on this, and it's something that I've just started to encapsulate myself because I'm like, oh, that just makes sense. Yeah, because a lot of the things I think we do here at Civic Media and just how I try to live my life is you have to shift the paradigm a lot of times. There's a lot of problems out there in the world that all of a sudden, if you look at it as, oh, well, I have to do this. I have to not ask for straws. I have to take a reusable bag with me. I have to go and vote. If you like change it from the things like I have to, as in something as it's just part of your habits and it's just something you do. I am a voter. I am somebody that doesn't need a straw, and straws serve a purpose. I don't want to be like ableist or anything like that. If you need a straw, use a straw. If you want a straw, use a straw. I just don't. And so it's like things like that there. I try to shift the paradigm and that's just how I live my life. And so the language about being a voter rather than telling somebody to go vote There's been research done on it, and it's the way to encourage civic participation, and that's all what we're about here at Civic Media. And it's
Luke Mathers. Look at laying on some knowledge this morning. I love it. He's not just all, you know, goofiness and cheer. He actually has deep thoughts.
It's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
There's depth to Luke. I like this deeper thinking.
Get into the basement.
Bringing us, this is exactly what I wanted. This
mediocrity
is
at best.
No, we have now, with that knowledge, we have surpassed mediocrity this morning in broadcasting. Oh. So that's great. No, yeah. I appreciate that.
That's just a behind the scenes glimpse of me.
That's good. Yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah. Well, so there you go. Be a voter, and you can start early voting today. But as I said earlier in the program, just whatever you're getting in the mail or on your email, just forget it, because we don't know whether it's good information or not. Here's what you do. Call your local clerk, your town clerk, your village clerk, your city clerk. Call your clerk or the clerk's office. They will tell you what's up in your community, how to vote early. There are some places that let you vote early until the Friday before the election. There are some places in Wisconsin that go all the way through Sunday before the election. Don't get wrong information. Call your local clerk. That is the best thing to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many local clerks out there,
right?
In Wisconsin,
everybody's got one.
I was just saying, here in our state, we have such a decentralized voting system that there are so many local officials in Wisconsin that are there working to answer your questions if you have them. And so reaching out to those offices, very crucial if you do have any questions. The best thing about what a lot of our election officials have been doing in recent years is the early vote process is super easy. If you have yet to be an in-person absentee early vote, it is way simpler than you might think. You go, if you're not registered, you can still register with your local clerks. But if you are registered, you simply show your ID, and you have to have that legal, valid voter ID. Here in the state of Wisconsin, there's several different versions that count, but the most widely used one is your driver's license. So if you've got your valid driver's license, you show that to your local polling place for early vote. It can sometimes vary from what your election day voting location is. So you'll want to check out myvote.wi.gov or reach out to your clerk if you do have questions on that. But there's like a touch screen. They look you up. They verify everything. It is so easy. They give you your ballot, you fill it out, and then you're done. And it goes by so quickly. And that's what voting should be. It should be easy, and it should be something that we just make habits out of. It's an election day in Wisconsin? Perfect. or it's 2 weeks before an election day in Wisconsin? I can go in-person absentee vote if that's better for me, if I'm going to be busy on Tuesday, April 4th.
Quick and easy.
Yeah.
Just like my love life. No,
I'm just kidding. There you go.
If only it were that simple. that's TMI there on a Tuesday morning. But here I want to ask against Luke, because you're I was Republican for 30 years. Mm-hmm. I think it's fair to say you probably voted more and identified more with the progressive liberal Democratic side. Are you worried about this election at all?
I'm worried about everything, Todd.
Well, that's true. Here's the point. And I don't want to, you know, talk out of school, but let's say hypothetically, I was in a room full of mostly Democrats about a week ago, and this subject came up about the Supreme Court election. And everybody in the room, at least who spoke, said, "Oh, we're not worried about the outcome." I believe the phrase was "Protasewicz has it in the bag" was uttered. I don't believe that. Maybe I'm just, you know, a worrier, but I think that these attack ads against Protasewicz are, and she hasn't had a great attack ads until like the last couple of days. I think that it is crucial that everybody who cares about women's health care, about abortion rights, about gerrymandering, you get out and vote. This thing is not in the bag. This thing is going to come down to who turns out on election day, and I think it's going to be closer than people think.
Todd, I don't think anything in politics is ever in the bag. I mean, I guess Mark Pocan running here in the second congressional district, Tom Tiffany running up in the seventh, I think, in his neck of the woods. The gerrymandered districts allow you to kind of have some stuff in the bag.
You know what election result is in the bag? Gwendolyn Moore.
Yeah, Gwen Moore is, and she's faced some primary challengers in recent years as well. So I wouldn't say that it's always in the bag for everything. But,
nobody's going to beat her.
No, probably not likely. But I relate this to Little League Baseball.
All right.
I was never the best player, but I could do the fundamentals well. I had been praised as a child for being coachable, at least. Not the best excelling at athletics, but I like playing sports. And throughout my upbringing, I was commended by my coaches for being coachable.
Okay.
And the number one thing that I could always improve on for Little League was running through the bag.
When you
go through to first, you hit an infield single. Mm. Your goal is to run through the bag because you don't know if the first baseman is going to drop the ball, if it's going to get overthrown, and so you always want to overrun first base. Mm. That is one of the fundamentals of baseball. And so my fear is that the belief that it is in the bag will prevent some people from running through first base in this race, and that's what we need to prevent. It could be a lot closer. Mm. I don't know. I'm not making predictions on this. I have a pretty good feeling that Janet Protasiewicz, from the outcome of the primary, which isn't always necessarily the best indicator, but from the amount of energy and interest in this race, I think she benefits from that. Mm. And I think we all that want to see her be elected to the state's highest court need to run through the bag. And so you need to run through first base on this one. And so I do fear that some people are letting up. And I think it's very important to continue having these conversations. Don't take anything for granted. Get everybody in your life involved and have them make plans to be voters, because it's going to take us all. And if Dan Kelly gets elected to the state's highest court, there is not going to be the opportunity to flip the makeup of the Wisconsin Supreme Court for another 2 years at minimum. And I believe it could be 3 years. I haven't looked that far down the calendar because I'm very hopeful and optimistic about this race, Todd.
That's so well put. Two great pieces of knowledge there from Luke this morning. But I couldn't agree with you more. That's a great analogy. Run through the bag. Do not let up. Don't take your foot off the gas pedal. Whatever analogy you want to use. But I think that's a great one, because you also have your Brewers hat on today, which is fantastic.
Spring training, baby.
It is underway. But no, it is critical that no one take this election for granted. And let me make very clear, even if you disagree with Luke or I, we want everyone to go out and vote. I'm not a voter suppressionist. Yeah. Everyone that is eligible should go out and vote. But particularly if you are concerned about women's rights and about gerrymandering in the state, and quite frankly, democracy, you should go out and vote. And I would encourage you to vote for Janet Protasiewicz coming up on Tuesday, 2 weeks from today.
You don't have to wait till Tuesday, though. Early in-person voting started today, baby.
See, Luke, just like that. Always on top of it. I love it. I want to turn to something just seriously for a second before we go to break. We're going to come back and talk about a bracket, something less serious. But two shootings in the last 24 hours, Luke. Mm-hmm. The first one yesterday here in a suburb of Madison, Middleton. A very quiet, it is a hometown America, Middleton, Wisconsin. And yesterday afternoon, according to police reports, some woman who bought a car from a dealership called MSI, an independent dealership on Parmenter Street next to Culver's in Middleton, she was disgruntled about her purchase. She pulls up to this car dealership and shoots her salesperson who sold her the car. The guy died this morning in the hospital.
Yeah.
Then down in Milwaukee overnight, we have five young women in the hospital with injuries, a young teenager boy dead on a gun incident then. And meanwhile, Republicans are offering that we need to have a state rifle as a state symbol.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts on this?
Because I was listening to the show before when the aspect of the state rifle came up, before details of both of these two shootings started to really fabricate this morning. And I mean, we have a very interesting relationship with guns in the United States.
I'm a hunter. Aaron is too.
Yeah. I mean, I grew up learning how to use firearms in Scouts. And so it's not that I have an aversion to them. I just have a hard time buying an argument that says, well, more guns makes you safer. Because if that was the case, America would be the safest country in the entire world, because we have so many guns. And so, sure, if you want to debate whether or not the state has a rifle, and at the same time you want to have common sense and practical gun laws for the state, by all means. But unfortunately, we don't have that. We have people in higher elected offices that are seeking to relax gun laws, to do permitless carry, like in states. Florida just passed, or is at least discussing passing permitless carry, and things like that just don't make sense to me. So I would be fine if we had a state rifle. Sure, if that is something that you care so much about and the elected officials want to advance it, fine. But you, at the same time, as responsible gun owners, should want safe gun laws. And unfortunately, we have one political party that is like, no, if you make any infringement on the Second Amendment, that is against my rights and my constitutional rights as an American, and people get too up in arms over it.
Thank you very much. That is Luke Mathers with Dueling Tangents, back with more with him after this. This is the Todd Allball Show, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network. Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show. It is now 10:50. That is 10 minutes before the hour of 11 o'clock. At the top of the hour, we will send you off to our friends in beautiful Waukesha. That is Kristen Bry and Jane Matinair for As Goes Wisconsin. Another great program. You will laugh, you'll smile, you'll cry, you'll be informed. You'll feel like you've gone to a news day spa after 3 hours with Kristen and Jane. It's a fantastic program.
It is.
I always feel better after I listen to the show.
Yeah, I don't get to listen to the end too often because I'm kind of trying to tune in to get ready.
You're
to go on the air
zone.
Myself. Yeah,
in the zone.
But we had a very fun time. As Goes Wisconsin, the team, Kristen and Jane, were here in Madison last week for Thursday, and I joined them for that final half hour. I felt a little unprepared for my own show, but I had a blast with them talking just kind of some of the random headlines of the day and just having an all-around great time.
Well, what I enjoy about the show, which I didn't know until they did it here, they have cocktails throughout the show.
Seriously?
No.
Oh, I was going to say, nobody gave me one. I felt left out then for a second.
Jane's like, how the heck do you think we get through this? She had a bottle of vodka. She was ready to go. No, I'm just kidding.
She was on vacation. Aaron was running the ones and twos for
her
that day. So she was a little bit more laid back, maybe.
She was having a great time.
Yeah.
But yes, Kristen and Jane, you can hear them As Goes Wisconsin after the news break at the top of the hour. Tune in for that great program, As Goes Wisconsin, from 11 until 2 at 2 o'clock then on WXCO Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. It is the Chad Holmes Show with Chad Holmes, all the is news across central Wisconsin. For the rest of the network, it is Dueling Tangents with our guest this hour, Mr. Luke Mathers, along with Mr. Brian Kelly. And you can hear all that is news, all that's tangential, all that is sports gentle as well.
And we got a fun show coming up. We got Annalise Eicher, as I alluded to last segment, going to be joining me to lead off the show. And then Dan Schaefer of the Recombobulation Area joining me at 2:30. So, it'll
be
a
big program with the old tangents.
We're going to toss around a lot of tangents for this Tuesday afternoon.
Oh, tossing tangents on a Tuesday. Here's something I'd like to toss, my NCAA bracket. I like to toss it out. So you understand, we had an office pool, which I love these. And thanks, speaking of Kristen, thank you to Kristen for getting this together, by the way. She said, hey, guys, we need to do a bracket. And she was absolutely right. So we did this office pool bracket. And there are 13 participants in the bracket. Right now, Toddy stands at number 12. Yes.
No, but there's 14. There's a two-way tie for 13th right now.
So, Mr. Zomers, don't get quite so cocky there because you're 1 point behind me. And in first place is Peter V, who is Peter V?
Peter's part of the sales team up in Oshkosh. So,
somebody that Todd and I have, we have no idea who that is.
This company is growing so fast, by the way. Zomers and I were on our staff meeting yesterday, our Zoom staff meeting, and there was a guy, I'm not going to see who it was, but there was somebody talking, and I whispered to, I kind of, like, Mr. Zomers, I'm like, who's that? And he goes, I have no idea. We don't know who's coming up.
We
don't know.
Very growing, quick network. Yes. So it's
so okay. Peter V, a sales guy, allegedly, he is in for. I think somebody's speaking of cracking our code. I think somebody's doing this to win the pool. And then my good friend and colleague for 30 years, Joanne Krulatz, out in Richland Center.
Yeah,
she is kicking it. She is in second place. Then our friend Kristen from As Goes Wisconsin. She is in third, tied with Brady. And then we've got Terry Bell, our news director.
Oh, there's a lot of ties.
Yeah. yeah, there's a lot of ties. And then we have Luke Mathers at number 8.
Yeah.
So not bad at all, Luke.
No, my bracket was pretty bad still.
My entire Final Four is gone.
Oh, you? Oh, wow. Okay, yeah, mine's not that bad. I think I still have. I think I have one of the. Yeah, I only have Gonzaga left.
I have Alabama and Gonzaga.
Oh no, I have Houston and Gonzaga left. So I have Houston over Alabama. Or no.
Yeah. Here was my Final Four. I had Marquette winning it all. Gone. Michigan State took them out. I had Virginia in the Final Four. Gone. I had Indiana in the Final Four. Gone. I had Kansas in the Final Four.
Ouch.
Gone.
Yeah. In my Elite Eight, I had Virginia versus Arizona, and they were both out in the first round. So my South and my East portion of the bracket, I guess that's just the South portion of the bracket, was not a good pick for me this year. So
I think a lot of people's brackets this year are just shot to heck.
Oh yeah, I don't recall an opening weekend where there was after that the zero perfect brackets remained. So it was definitely a year of upsets in the NCAA tournament.
But fun to watch.
Oh, yeah. Very fun. We watched some cooking shows with a friend of ours. Oh, yeah. And so they were out of town last week. And she and Kelsey and I got together last night. And she was like, well, have you watched these episodes yet? And Kelsey's like, no, we've been watching basketball. And more basketball. And I just kind of looked and I was like, it's that time of year.
It's that time of year.
The Milwaukee Bucks are the best team in the NBA. And it's the NCAA tournament. And apparently I'm supposed to care about the NIT tournament this year because of the Badgers.
Well, you are. You are.
I love the Badgers. So, right. I've never had a focus before on the NIT. Like, this is the first time since 96 that the Badgers are there. Yeah. And so, I knew about the NIT, but I was never like, oh, yeah, let me tune in for an NIT game. But I watched Michigan lose in the NIT over the weekend. That was a lot of fun. Yeah.
Rutgers lost the opening round.
Yep. And so, and the Badgers have Stephen Crowell in the first round went monster, and he just had an insane game. Right. Chucky Hepburn and the entire team was looking really good this weekend against Liberty. I'm excited to see what they can put together tonight.
Liberty, i.e., the Jerry Falwell University of Hate and Bigotry.
Yeah. That was the same one.
That was fantastic.
Yeah, that was fun to watch that win. And so they're taking on Oregon tonight, and the Ducks have had the Badgers number.
And, we always lose to the freaking Ducks. Yeah. I mean, we've lost two Super Bowls. I was at one where it happened right in front of me. Brady Ewing was on that team for Michelin Center, our good friend and neighbor. And Russell Wilson was going to send the winning pass to him. You just know it was going to happen. And then the officials messed it up, the clock, and the time ran out, and the Ducks beat. And the Ducks, by the way, are terrible fans. They're terrible people to be around. They're just
really. I like Oregon, so that's weird that their fans are terrible.
They're just nasty.
I feel like Oregonians are cool people normally.
Yeah, and they make that sign with their hands. It's supposed to be an O.
Yeah.
But my sister teaches American Sign Language, and let me just tell you, the sign that they make is not an O. It is for a body part.
I was saying, you'll have to share that one off air.
It is for a body part. And it's not an O.
See, I didn't get to go to that Rose Bowl. I went to the Stanford one where Stavi came in for one throw was it. And then it was Danny O'Brien? I forget who the backup was against Stanford. Yeah. But that was a bummer one.
Quickly, women's hockey team, national champion.
Yes,
Does anybody deserve a statue at Madison more than Mark Johnson?
No, a miracle on ice, my birthday, but 12 years before I was born.
And 7 national championships from Mark Johnson.
Yeah. Mark Johnson doing a terrific job, and hats off and flowers for him.
I mean, and a great guy, too.
Yeah.
Just a wonderful, wonderful guy. Congratulations to women's Badger hockey on their national championship this week. Listen in, Luke. We appreciate you. We thank you for all you do, Todd. One of the hardest working guys in show business, Luke Mathers.
Mediocrity at best.
No, that's us. That's us. We appreciate our callers today and all of you for listening. Mr. Aaron Zommer is on the board. See you tomorrow. Stay tuned for As Goes Wisconsin next. Until then, this is the Civic Media Radio Network. This is the Todd Allball Show. Keep banging on your drum.